This particular pericope of the Gospel, coming from the Gospel of the beloved disciple, St. John, is one of the most beautiful accounts that we find in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And it calls to mind the fact that the other day when we had the burial of our second oldest parishioner, who was 98, at the cemetery where he is buried, there is a statue of a well and Jesus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. I asked the servers if they knew who she was, and they did not. But we will see that in a minute, who she is. Now, first of all, this is in Samaria. The Jews, if possible, never ever entered Samaria. And they considered the Samaritans to be heretics, to be breaking the law of God, because they thought that it was there in Samaria, in Mount Gerizim, where this town of Zikar, where the well was, that they were to worship God. And they did. But they had nothing to do with the Jews and Jerusalem, which is where God commanded that the people should worship God. And so that was the first point of divergence, and many others besides. So the Jews had nothing to do with them. And so our Lord, the fact that he's there, just shows us how much he cares for the salvation of all. Even though not all may be saved, only some, nevertheless, it is not because of him. It is because of their own choice. And then he was sitting there, and in his perfectly human nature, he was hot and tired. His nature was capable of suffering. That's why he became man. And so she came, and he said to her, "Give me a drink." And he breaks the ice and begins this magnificent dialogue, which ends in the salvation of many, many souls. So, as he sends off the disciples to buy food and get something to drink, likely wine, he begins to speak to her by this well, which was of his ancestor, Jacob. So, he asks her for a drink, and she says, "How can you, who are a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Under normal circumstances, it was not permitted for a lone Jew to talk to any woman, especially alone, even in public, and much, much less a Samaritan woman. And so she wonders, how can this be? Jews use nothing in common with us, Samaritans. And so he asked her instead, "If you knew the gift of God," and the gift of God was in front of her, "and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would have given you living water, the waters of salvation." And then she wonders, "You do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us this well? He drank from it himself and his children and all his cattle and sheep." And then Jesus says, "Whoever drinks this water of this well is going to get thirsty again." And it's true, isn't it? We drink water and a few minutes later we are thirsty again. That is not the water about which he is speaking. "Whoever drinks the water that I shall give you will never thirst again. The water that I will give you is a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It is the spiritual water, the water of grace, which comes to us first through baptism." And of course, all these readings are gearing up for the fact that some will be baptized during this Lenten and Easter season. So then he changes the subject a little bit to open her eyes. And he says, go and get your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And he says, that's right, you're saying the truth. You've had five husbands. And of course, that's not a very good thing. And the one that you're living with is not even your husband. She was living in sin with some man. And he could see it. Because he is God. He can see inside your soul and my soul. And the woman, you must be indeed a prophet, sir. Our ancestors, and then she changes the subject again. They worship on this mountain. But you people, the Jews, say that that place to worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, well, that is coming to an end. From now on, you shall worship the Father neither here nor there, but everywhere in the Spirit. For the Father is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And she's amazed at what he's saying. And then she realizes that he must be something. Could it be? Could it be that he is the Messiah? I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. He will tell us everything. And he tells her, the one speaking with you is he. I am he. And he uses a terminology reserved for God alone. I am. And she's flabbergasted. At that moment, she takes off, and the disciples return, and they don't know what on earth is going on. They don't understand how he's there on this mountain near Sychar, talking to a Samaritan woman. Totally unheard of. But Christ did a lot of things that were totally unheard of. And so she goes and fetches her children, two sons, as a matter of fact, and the rest of the people in the town who come with her. Come and see, he has told me everything about myself. He knows who I am, and he's a stranger, and yet he knows what I have done. He knows my sins. They knew them too, because she lived there. She was perhaps what was called a town tramp. And every town has one or two of those. And so they all knew her. They put up with her, but they knew exactly who she was. And then the apostles still are wondering what's going on. And they say, we have brought you something to eat. And he says, that is not my food. My food is to do the will of my Father. And they're even more confounded, even though they know who he is. And he says, you, as a matter of fact, what you're bringing, you did not sow or reap it. You're reaping what other persons sowed. You did not grow this. Somebody else did. And so you are sharing in the fruits of their work, which is exactly what we do in the church and throughout the centuries. The apostles and their successors and all the saints and martyrs, we are reaping what they sowed. We did not sow it. We did not work for it. They did. So at that point, half the town or more comes out, and they began to talk with him, and he to them. St. John does not tell us what, but he does say they began to believe in him. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. First, it was her word. And of course, that is the way the gospel is spread. It is spread by the word of the messengers, the apostles and the disciples and their successors. We are the messengers of God. But in this case, they believe as a result from her, who is not even in very good standing with God. She was living in sin. But she came to believe. And then many others began to believe. And they were all flabbergasted. And they finally said, "We no longer believe because of your word," they said to her, Photina. That was her name, Photina. "But we have heard for ourselves that what you said is true. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." And so we celebrate on this day, this magnificent episode of the conversion of Saint Photina and her two sons, who eventually became martyrs of the early church and our saints, and all the other people of that town who began to believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is the way it is. You reap what others sowed. What we believe, what we grow in the Holy Catholic faith, is that which Saint Photina and her sons and the apostles and disciples and all the saints for 2,000 years have sowed, and we are reaping the fruits of their labors. And so we too hope to receive, one, that water that flows up to eternal life, which of course is the Holy Spirit, the water of baptism. And we hope to receive salvation from Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of God, become the Son of Mary, to save us from our sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.